You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Let's check in with Paula Beattie from RNIB's campaigns team in Northern Ireland. Thanks for joining us, Paula.
Thank you very much, Alan. Nice to talk to you again.
Okay, so we've got a couple of topics to go through today. We are going to look at elections shortly, although they aren't actually taking place in Northern Ireland until next year, but a lot of work ahead of that. We are going to start, though, with a look at e-scooters.
In Northern Ireland here, we don't have any specific legislation with regards to e-scooters and indeed scramblers. We got wind with some work with some of the MLAs who work with that there was going to be a major debate in the Assembly involving all of the parties. So we pulled together a quick briefing across all of the MLAs. We did get referenced by MLAs in the Assembly, both the issues relating to blind, partially sighted people with regards to e-scooters and, you know, research that RNIB have done, but also one particular MLA actually quoted directly from the RNIB research that we sent across, and not only quoted from it, but said to the House, everyone should read this briefing in from RNIB. So that the motion was passed and the issues pertaining to blind, partially sighted people, along with all of the other issues for disabled people and others, were very much covered in the briefing, and RNIB were well mentioned, and the issues relating to blind and partially sighted people. So now myself and some of the rest of the team will be following up, Alan, with the MLAs and particular parties, and indeed, for instance, the Deputy Lord Mayor of Belfast, in terms of the next steps, the schemes that have been proposed, and getting those with lived experience and to speak on the issue. So it was a really successful piece of work and just an example of, you know, keeping your ear to the ground and seeing something's coming up and getting on the ball straight away.
And as you say, this was a quick turnaround to get all this information together, because you're looking at different aspects when it comes to e-scooters. Was safety was a big one for blind and partially sighted people, and indeed for the general public as well, and the dangers that e-scooters pose when they're on roads, they're on pathways as well, they're on pedestrian precincts.
And those issues were raised, but another issue that was really pertaining and really relevant, and that we will be focusing on more, is it's coming clearer from businesses in various areas, particularly obviously urban areas, that they're aware that certain customers are now avoiding areas, Alan, those with disabilities, those with sight impairment and others who are just feeling completely unsafe approaching certain shops. They're staying away at certain times of the day. They may be going elsewhere. They're feeling intimidated because there's some antisocial behaviour as well associated. So there's a broader picture emerging with a lot of these issues. And I think in terms of our own work, it's really important that we engage even more with local businesses, Alan, as well, and MLAs looking at the economic impact as well, because obviously there's a broader impact, if you like, in terms of the e-scooters. And for us, as we all know, this could also impact people saying, do you know what, I'm not going out. I'm not going to go to that area anymore. I'm going to stay at home. You know, I'm going to have someone else do the shopping. And, you know, if you can bring our business colleagues in to the discussions, then all the best.
Yeah, once it has that effect on the economy, I suppose it kind of doubles down, isn't it? But when you think about the individuals themselves, you know, it's an impact on people's independent mobility. It's an impact on their confidence as well. That can ripple into other areas of people's lives.
Of course it is. And that's what we're trying to get through. You know, for people who we work with, for those with vision impairment, it impacts on their daily life. It's, you know, going to meet a friend, going to the shops, a visit to the doctor. So it all fits in with our general calls around the strategy of active travel here in Northern Ireland, that it's all very well focusing on cyclists and cars. And we understand all of that. Of course we do. But there needs to be much more of a focus on pedestrians.
We're looking ahead now, 2027, you'll be having elections in Northern Ireland as well. And you've been having some interactions with the Electoral Commission as well ahead of that.
We have been having interactions with the Electoral Commission, and here in Northern Ireland, we have the Electoral Office. Basically, we have the one returning officer, unlike across the water from us. So our office here is the one Electoral office with the chief electoral officer and the deputy chief, and we have been engaging with them along with some of our AI sector colleagues, if you like, in terms of planning for the 2027 elections. And we have just agreed a workable agenda and a work programme between electoral office, RNIB and some of our colleagues. That's quite exciting stuff for us because, as many of us know, a lot of the time election works, you know, comes up, it's very last minute and suddenly everyone is banging on the door looking for help or assistance or advice, and it's quite late. This time we're going to be looking at things like having a sort of feed into their internal polling exercises and training as well. A great option for us to look at videos and images of blind and partially sighted people in relation to access to their polling stations, to casting their vote. And this time round for Northern Ireland in 2027, it'll be interesting and slightly more difficult because we have two elections on the same day. So we've been working with all those sorts of logistics and getting our point of view and our experience in with the office. We also will be liaising with them around our campaigning with the party conferences and manifestos and getting all electoral office information out on that. We also will have the electoral officer becoming involved in our podcast and in our training materials. And basically, there's a really good work programme in place, which means hopefully we will have a much more involved aspect in terms of encouraging blind and partially sighted people to come out to vote, and that their polling stations will be as accessible and their ability to vote as accessible and as independent as we can make it for the way legislation is at the time. So, no, it's been really good, Alan, and I think it's a really good example of partnership working and the way that we're recognised here by the electoral office. You know, they do recognise RNIB in Northern Ireland as having a strength in terms of that whole issue of accessible voting.
It is important that if you're blind or partially sighted, you get to cast your vote, you know, independently and in secret. But you know, sometimes people don't think that sometimes that first contact is the polling station staff. And if they aren't comfortable in helping you know exactly what to say, know exactly how to assist you, that can put people off.
It certainly does. And we would find now what we have here is the telephone line. So that was something to introduce Northern Ireland first. So that has helped some voters in that they can ring up the line and get a list of their candidates and the number they'll be appearing on the ballot sheet. That has helped some people. But we are aware of others who say, you know, they've gone in. Example I always give is someone who went in at the last elections, visually impaired, but they had a certain amount of sight, as we know. But they had said to one of the staff, look, can you just clarify again what, you know, identity documents you have to prove, which we do have to provide here. And someone sort of waved at a board in the background and said, just read that. And I kind of thought, oh, for goodness sake, you know. So you're right down to all of the myths about vision impairment, which we know, you know. So if someone doesn't have a guide dog with them, some of the staff think, well, they didn't look like they had vision impairment, or they didn't have a white cane. Well, then sure, they can see the board. So this kind of training we want to do is really getting down to those very, very basic things we know. Like if you're going to move away from someone, let them know if you've come back. It's very basic stuff, Alan, that maybe we presume that people, because we work within the sector, do understand. But in fact, they don't. And even working on some of the tactile voting devices, people have gone in and when they've asked for it, you have some polling stations, it's excellent. Somebody, you know, 2 miles down the road will say, I went in, and they said, we've no idea what you're talking about. So this lead-in time, we hope, will help to eradicate or lessen the chances that that kind of thing will happen, Alan, as well. So it's really important. And if we can have the electoral office coming in and speaking on the podcast and getting involved with those with lived experience through RNIB, all the better for these double elections coming up.
People would like to get in touch with yourselves at RNIB Northern Ireland campaigns, maybe want to get involved or they want to ask a question. What's the best way to do that?
Well, the best way is really to contact our campaigns mailbox, which is campaignsni@rnib.org.uk. We monitor that and one of the team can get back to you as soon as possible.
We will be following these stories over the coming months, but for the moment, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio, and we'll catch up with you again next month.
Speak soon.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.